57. I'm not old.
Do it.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children,
the oversensitive,
or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast,
featuring
Matt Starnsworth, Carol the Cat,
the
Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
You know, if we didn't talk over it, it would sound new.
Oh my gosh, episode 87!
Joey Navarra
Jr., thank you for spending the night in our garage with Field. And I hope you enjoyed your extra sponges due to the heat wave here in Charlotte. So
it could have been worse.
Yes.
I'm not sure how, but yes. Okay, awesome. So you're going to be at Heroes Con. You've got brand
which
new...
Which is June 17th through 19th at the Charlotte Convention Center.
Probably should have said that in the last episode, right? Yeah.
We'll have to put that in the written text of the...
You expect too much.
I
just realized there's dates on here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so hit the dates again.
June 17th through the 19th at the Charlotte
Convention Center.
Okay, Charlotte Convention Center.
And Shelton told us last week they're adding like half of another room on this year, so it's even larger.
Cool.
Just to give people space, I guess. But yeah, anyway.
I don't think it was too crowded last year, right?
I didn't go last year, but it was last year was Stan Lee as well, so I think I don't think we'll have that kind of.
Have you been going to their 1 day con?
I didn't go to the Show Mini Con this year.
That's turning into a nightmare with space. They need to, because they've been going, it's at the Grady Cole Center, and it's a great con. Like, it's like a mini Heroes Con. Like, there's good people, good vendors, but it's way too crowded.
Last time I went, I sat up in the stands because I had to get out of the people.
You can't even browse. It's like, I feel like I'm in the way because there's so many people in the aisles filling up, you can't walk through. And then, of course, there's the cosplayers and stuff, which I enjoy seeing, but it's like sometimes they're not aware of how big their costumes are, or maybe they shouldn't be walking on the floor.
Maybe you didn't need to dress in a full-size Voltron costume.
Right, yeah. I you can do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, but, like, wings are always a bad idea for me, because it's like you're really extending your...
You need to know your costume walking radius.
Yeah.
And if you've got a sword sticking out and back, do not stop short.
I was just thinking of that one,
And if you've got a, you know, a scythe that you have leaning forward, do not let it drop, because little kids get decapitated
and
all the time.
That was, like, 3 feet this way. To the right of him.
Because he was
just
like
clipping people. He's just like bopping people as he's walking around.
And like the entrance is a little bit low to get into the floor. And it's like, I imagine the large swords that they have to like duck. And then it's one of those things where like don't pose for pictures when you're on the floor because people can barely walk by.
Well, that's one of the things that I like about the Concord Embassy Suites is because even with tables in the hallways are really wide.
Yeah.
So if you want to do the walk in the hallway, it's not so bad, but places like Grady Cole, they're not built for cosplay, they're built for sports. It's just not the same.
But Charlotte Convention Center, plenty of room this year, and you're going to be, what's your space number again, 55 or
AA53?
And that would be AA53. Mm-hmm. For those of you who didn't listen last podcast, it's AA53.
For those of you that didn't listen,
AA53. His name is Navarra, so there's lots of A's, no O's. N-A-V-A-R-R-A. Thank you so much.
And there's at least one A in Pursued by a Bear.
Yes, there is.
Exactly one. Thank you for pointing that out. You also will be at the convention this weekend.
I will be
Starting
at Glory. AA 1913.
Yes,
all the glory days of 1913.
Not the year that the Red Sox last won before the last time they won before the last time they won, but 1913, which was 5 years before the last time they won before they thought the curse was
happening. Gosh.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Does it have to do with sports ball?
You know about
ball?
The curse of the Bambino, right?
Does it have to do with sports
I know
sports
that
ball?
Name.
It has to do with sports ball. Okay. In Boston Red Sox, it used to be when I was growing up in New England.
Who cut their feet?
What?
Their socks are red. Why are their socks red? Why are we talking about baseball?
I'm going to finish the story and then we'll move on.
This is like Dancing with the Stars torture.
Let her finish the story.
And when I was growing up as a kid, the last time the Red Sox won the World Series was in 1918. So when our rivals... No.
Damn, I thought I was the oldest person at the table.
So when our rivals, the New York Yankees, would come to visit, the chant that they would cry out would always be 1918. 1918. But here's the thing that I'm going to tell you, and it's going to make you feel like shit.
I'm riveted.
I'm going to tell you about this.
Tell me.
When my father passed away, exactly 1 year from the anniversary of his death, the Boston Red Sox won the World Series. So, fuck y'all. All right.
Well, that's just because he went to God and said, damn it, step in and have them win.
It was actually awesome because I was doing a tribute radio show to him at the time. And I was like, I can't be sad. The thing he wanted to happen most happened exactly 1 year after his death. I think he had a part in it. So there you go. All right, so thank you for being part of us. And sorry for that you had to hear them beat me up like that. But I'm glad that we're the Joeys. We're sticking together. I've decided.
We are on the same side of the
table. We are on the same side. Now, Joey, this is not the first time you and I and Star and Slur have hung out before. You were actually on Flash Chat with
right.
us.
Yes.
Yeah. On the CW a couple weeks ago. It was the week before all the finales, so we got to do a lot of speculation.
Did anyone guess who the Man in the Mask was correctly on our episode?
I halfway did, yeah.
But
well, you
said,
too, though, yeah.
Well, I wanted it to be Eddie. I really wanted it to be Eddie.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because
no,
I like that character.
I said it could be Wesley. Shit,
yeah.
But I said it. I thought it was possibly. Remember, I said I thought
real
it was
Jay
a third.
Garrett, which
he was.
Yeah. And I'm glad that it. I'm glad it was different. It was just a different character than like that version's Eddie or something. Like I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely thought it ended interestingly.
Yeah. So are they doing Flashpoint? Are they doing Flashpoint Paradox? Like
that's what they're the guy. What's the guy who plays Ramon?
Yeah,
Cisco Ramon. He's basically said
there's definitely opened it up for that.
Okay,
yeah,
and that's fine. And like so, we'll get several episodes, or maybe the whole season of like I'm in this new world, and like I have memories of my old life, but I'm not the Flash in this world, and maybe that's how like Wally is the Flash in this world or something like.
Well, I think it also opens up the door for how we're going to merge Supergirl into the universe. Because what happens if Supergirl comes and she knows who he is?
So, that's possible, but the rumor right now is that Superman is going to make an appearance on the show. And I don't think that they'll merge them. Because, like, in a world where Superman exists... What is Arrow really doing? You know, it's sort of the TV trap of, like, Superman can solve everything by himself. So I'm afraid that... I'm just afraid that Supergirl isn't going to get... Well...
But he tried. He tried to come into the world, and he couldn't because of the...
I haven't watched the show at all.
Yeah, there was actually a couple times where he tried to do something, and he couldn't, and she...
Superman did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was able to.
They haven't shown him on the first season at all.
Okay.
It was always like a shadow, like he was helping her up. Or
yeah,
there'd be a text to Jimmy Olsen. Who's
did the shadow look like Henry Cavill?
No,
did the shadow know?
No. Shadow did not know. No. Which reminds me of a classic episode of Super Friends where Superman had to battle a shadow of himself and he was getting his ass kicked. So it's at night. And there's a street lamp, only source of light, and he finally figures out he can take his cape and throw it over the light, and that'll kill the shadow, because it'll be completely pitch dark, and that's how he solved it.
Okay.
So he used his noggin to defeat the shadow.
Was this the really bad Super Friends with the Legion of Doom that was in the swamp?
This was before that.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Before they even had supervillains. So it was all just this weirdness. Anyways.
Is there like... I grew up watching the reruns, but like...
Oh yeah.
Is there different qualities in each season or series or whatever? Or are they all just bad across the board?
They're all just
bad. They're all bad, but before it was like they definitely, like when they first started, it was like there was no super villains that I can remember, but they one guy had a shrink ray, so he shrunk like Green Arrow and Wonder Woman and Superman, and they were driving a car, and Green Arrow like shot his arrow, so he was steering with his like this rope on an arrow, and Wonder Woman was pushing the gas pedal, and Superman was working the brake. I mean, it was just—it's so hysterical. That's the quality of villain they're fighting.
They constantly struggle to find things for Aquaman to do.
Yeah,
my favorite is the GIF of Aquaman riding flying fish. You see that that's the best. And it's like, you wonder why people think he's a joke. I love Aquaman. Like, that's one of my favorite Justice Leaguers.
When we were kids, we played Justice League of America, and my brother was named Clark, so he, of course, always got to be Superman.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always got to be Wonder Woman.
Right.
Well, it was funny in the original opening for the old Super Friends, and they called it Justice League, but they had the Super Friends over it. But they used to have that on there, like, not good enough. Nobody knows what that is, so here's Super Friends. But so you have Superman flying, Batman and Robin swinging, you know, Wonder Woman, like, with the magic lasso, invisible jet. And then Aquaman, like, up, he had a seahorse, and he was like,
a giant seahorse.
And it was just like, oh, Aquaman. It was just like... But no, I agree. I love his origin. I love when the book has been done really well and stuff. So, crazy. Okay, I'm sorry.
So we've been on this Super Friends tangent there.
That's okay. I can always go off on the Super Friends.
So speaking of Things in the Sea, the Lobster movie you saw.
Oh yeah,
the Lobster. Actually, Tiffany and I both saw this.
Oh, great. The Lobster.
This is a weird one.
Did you guys see it at the Manor?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Did too.
You did.
Cool.
Oh, so you can talk also.
Yay!
This is kind of a weird one. The premise is that single people have to go to the hotel, and they have 45 days to find a mate. And if they don't, they are turned into an animal of their choice, and the lead character's choice is, of course, a lobster. Hence the title.
Because they're blue-blooded, and they live 100 and some years.
Yes, and...
they're fertile their entire life.
Exactly.
So he has very good reasons why he wants to be a lobster.
Interesting.
This movie, I have to say, I saw this at 10 o'clock on a Friday after a very, very long week, so it didn't get done till like midnight, so I was probably tainted a little bit by the fact that I was dead fucking tired. The first half of this movie I thought was hysterical. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. The way these characters talk in this movie, I'm not joking, this is a conversation. I will go hunt truffles because truffles are delicious and they are hard to find. You will need a pig. Yes, I will. Thank you. That's how everyone talks.
So the director is Greek, I believe, and it definitely had an international feel. Like, no one was, like, English was no one's first language. Which it's Colin Farrell, so it is. But, like, some of the actors, like, had really stiff performances. And in some cases, they're maybe terrified, like, of messing up or breaking the hotel's rules. But other times it was like, they're really, really stiff.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point, is, like, that you're forced into the society where you're forced to find a mate or turn into an animal. So it's sort of highlighting how awkward that would be. Staring at the people,
it's described as a dystopia, like a dystopian future, and I didn't think about it watching it, but that's exactly what it is. This awful form of government, like mandating partnerships, and then the loners are just as strict, if not even scarier.
They're worse.
Yeah,
because you have to stay a loner, because the lead character actually leaves the hotel or escapes from the hotel and goes to join the loners. Mm-hmm. Who are hunted by the hotel patrons in order to extend their stay a few more days. But unfortunately, the last half of this movie just started to drag for me. It really started to drag. And I don't know if it was because I was tired or if the uncomfortable pauses in conversation were just getting longer and longer and longer.
Part of it was, for me, was it was such a... non-traditional movie that I couldn't tell where it was going. It was paced strangely.
Yes.
So the end was just like, when is it? Like, not that I wasn't enjoying it by the end, but I was just like, when is this going to end? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to like spoil it, but I don't think he went through with the thing that he was. I think he's such a coward or weakling or whatever that he didn't do it at the end.
I kept expecting him to
walk by. Just see him in the outside.
Just that wide shot.
So and I'm glad they ended it on this like weird note of like you don't know if they escaped or whatever.
I just thought that the way where they went with her, what happened, was just so odd. Like I get that they wanted to sort of put this roadblock in there, but it's like
it was an odd. Like,
and why would she have gone? Because she like kind of knew something, you know? She's like, why do we have to go to this appointment today? I mean, she thinks she's getting LASIK. She didn't wear glasses.
And what I was confused by was how they had the money to afford that. Yeah, especially since they're living in the woods.
Yeah.
But, like, the leader of the loners still regularly visits her parents.
But then I was questioning, was she assigned them? Were they hotel patrons that she was assigned to? Because in the hotel, if you get into a relationship and you start having problems, they assign you a child.
Because
that will solve the problems of the relationship.
Wow. That was really funny.
So I didn't know whether she had been assigned to them or if that was actually their daughter. So it's a very unusual movie. I thought it was based on a book because this just seems like it would make such a better book than movie, but it's not.
I liked it overall.
I liked it.
I think my favorite part was that it was scored like a horror movie.
It was.
It's kind of Radiohead-esque, in my opinion. Like, I agree. I loved it.
And that really, like, things that were really stiff, like performances and dialogue, was elevated by this, like... Like this, like that really loud horror movie music, where it's like, this is meant to be dramatic, but it's not by the way the actors are acting. So, like, if you watched it without the soundtrack or without the score, it'd be really boring.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Under the Skin, Under Their Skin?
I haven't finished it, but I know what you mean. Where
similar type of score?
Yeah.
If it wasn't artistically done, it could just be a really boring movie.
Yeah.
And it is. It is a little bit. I mean, yeah.
That one is the one where I realized halfway through the film I had read the book, and I hated the book. I was like, oh crap.
Yeah, I could see why reading a book about that would be really uninteresting.
Actually, the book is completely different. They took certain things of it and made it into.
I think that the most interesting thing about Under the Skin, so we're going off on a tangent about that, is that. That Scarlett Johansson would meet these guys, like, and it was actually happening where she was meeting from the first time and approaching them, and them having these awkward conversations, and her luring them into her car, kind of a thing. And they would have no idea at the time that it was a movie. Kind of a thing, and then obviously after
Wait,
the fact.
Really? Yes. That's how they filmed those
scenes?
That's
how they filmed those scenes.
Really? I did not know that. Yeah. Okay.
She just drove around Scotland.
It felt like a very art house version of Species. Do you remember that movie?
That's like a
not like terrible horror movie version of it. Like.
Yeah. So, I didn't like Under the Skin, mostly because, it was just one of those, I don't know where the heck you're going with this. But the last 10 minutes of Under the Skin was very beautiful.
I agree.
I was told her performance is really good in it. The way that she is pretending to be a human, and she starts to fill those roles as she becomes more human.
That's sort of the arc of the whole movie. Yeah. Is her
as far as Scarlett Johansson is concerned, it was good. I just needed subtitles because, man, I'm good with accents, but those Scottish guys, I was like, what the hell did he just say?
Speaking of accents, that's exactly how I feel about Cassidy on Preacher.
Oh, Preacher? Ooh, very good segue there.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think he's fantastic, but it's like, I'm like a 3-second delay where I'm like, what did he say?
What did he just say?
And then I'm like, oh, I get it now.
Kind of a thing. Thank you. I watch it with subtitles.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I do.
It's a good idea, actually.
I tend to watch most of mine with subtitles just so I don't miss anything. But, I'm actually, now that it's settling down and it's not as jerky as the first couple of episodes where I'm liking Preacher a little bit more, so it's kind of settled into a groove, I think.
I really quite like it, especially Cassidy. He's definitely the most interesting one, and I like Tulip a lot, too.
Yeah.
But I really like the show. I mean, even, like, the sort of random things, I kind of liked what happened this past episode with him meeting up with the people from heaven, kind of a thing, and how he's like, I gotta kill them again, kind of a thing. But you know who I, like, really hate for some reason is the lady who works for the preacher. But the kids, she just seems so boring and lame and all. Like, she's nothing wrong with her, but, like, I'm like, ugh, she just brings nothing to this.
Yeah, she doesn't bring anything yet.
Yeah.
You have to have a foil for Tulip, because Tulip's so over the top.
I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
How is Dominic Cooper?
I actually really like him in this role.
He's good.
Okay.
I think he's really good.
He's like hit or miss for me. I've enjoyed what I've seen him in, but I did just see Warcraft, and I did not like him at all.
Oh. I have not seen Warcraft yet. I don't play World of Warcraft, so I have no real...
There's going to be a lot more Warcraft movies, so...
Because
I think it's
over, like, 250 million now. Like,
yeah, in China. So, yeah, it'll be, like, Pacific Rim.
There'll be at least two more.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a solid, just okay movie. Like... fun fantasy, but it is not. It's so close to being a good movie, but it's not. And I was when I was watching it, I was like, you know what? They did a like it's okay. And if I was a kid, I'd like it. And they were setting up for a lot, and I was just like, man, some of the storylines didn't pay off at the end. Like I was really unhappy with how certain things turned out, and I'm like, it's a shame because this isn't good enough for a sequel. Little did I know how much money it was going to make anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get a better sequel.
Yeah, I don't
know. And
I like the director too. I was hoping it would be better than it looked.
It did not look good. Which was
the previews I was like, I'm not seeing
this. But I love Duncan Jones. Moon is great, yeah.
Moon is really awesome film.
Right.
The CGI in Warcraft, I was kind of like cringing in some of the previews.
It looks great. Like, I'm so happy with the orcs and the mocap and everything.
Oh,
like,
cool.
The main orc that you see in the commercials is the most developed character. And like, there's too many humans and they don't spend enough time on any of them in particular. And it turns into like, I felt like they tried to do too much in the movie.
Is Dominic a human in the movie, or is he?
He's the king of the humans. It's unfair, but I just keep comparing it to the Lord of the Rings movies, and like the King of Rohan is like old and he has like weight to him and experience. He seems like the actor, and I like Dominic Cooper, but he like doesn't look older than like the main white soldier character.
Yeah.
And it's this weird like he doesn't right he's small too, so he turns into this like, I don't believe that he's this old like experienced king or whatever. Like, I don't know. It just, he wasn't doing it for me.
I have problems sometimes because it's like, I like him as an Agent Carter, as Howard Stark.
Yeah.
As the drunk type of playboy who's also a genius.
Yeah.
And you can see where Tony gets all of his mannerisms. And I think he plays that really well. But yeah, I love Preacher the comic book. So I'm like, I haven't seen this yet, but I want to like it. So it's like, I really want to like this.
I think he's actually well cast. Mostly because it is another kind of boozy character, but he actually, in Preacher, he has that edge of almost dangerousness that the character actually needs, because the character is dangerous. And there's really chemistry between him and Tulip, but then I think they're dating in real life, so that actually kind of comes across.
His hair is worth the price.
It's almost a razor head.
He's got the most fantastic set of hair.
It's almost a razor head quality. It just
gets out, but it's like so full and thick and luscious. It's just... he's really got some fantastic.
That's why Joey and I are going to watch this tonight, probably.
It's funny you say that, because I have a problem with his hair in Warcraft.
Oh, really?
Because it's this weird, like, I have long hair, but it's not shoulder length, and he's always wearing his crown, but it just looks sort of like a wig. If it's not a wig, it didn't look real.
Yeah.
And it just, like, that, it was just one thing that, like, it was just another thing that added to me not believing that he was this king. Like,
okay.
So, speaking of kings, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I'm the only
is,
one that's...
Is everyone caught up?
I am.
No. Okay.
We're the only two that watches, and she doesn't care that we spoil.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to watch it this week.
So, the
the producers... Almost over?
There's two more episodes.
Two more episodes.
This was kind of another placeholder episode.
Another filler episode.
The only story that really moved forward was Arya. And that didn't go the direction that anybody thought it was, because they were all thinking her old swordmaster would come back, and she wasn't herself. There was so many fan theories.
So people, because I heard that yesterday, that they think that the man is her swordmaster, or her swordmaster was the man.
Yeah, that's not, well, that's not how they played it out.
I was fine with it. It was because you got the feeling that the man, that's what he wanted.
That's what he wanted. Yeah, he wanted her to go back home, and be Arya Stark, not to be no one. The only problem I had with it is she was stabbed like 3 times in the gut, and she's running around the city and doing parkour, and I'm like, what the hell?
Well, you don't know exactly how much time has passed.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, I'll believe it. So with this fight in particular, I was fine with it because when she lures the girl, which the girl was like Terminator scary the way she was like chasing her, but she like traps her and fights in the dark, mm-hmm. and they don't show the fight because you can't see the fight, which is fine, and I like that. But I thought that the whole episode was just a bunch of fights happened, and they all happened off camera, like with Blackfish mainly. Like,
yeah.
How hard would it have been to show Blackfish die?
Yeah,
we saw Jorah's dad die, like in like with the Unsullied or whatever. Yeah. Like, just I'm fine with a tough old man dying on screen, like.
And it would have been nice to see him actually try and fight it out.
Yeah, because
that was an awesome character, and to have him just kind of like, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, and like, I'm probably going to make a fool of myself and then not show it. And like, the siege just seems like such a waste of time because nothing happened. Like,
yeah.
What, like, the Tullys and all that, all of the Catelyn Stark side of the family don't care about those characters. Just like... It's been so long since they've been relevant that they're not important to me.
Yeah. Huh. And they another fan theory was they were bringing all these Catelyn Stark family back because they were going to introduce Lady Stoneheart. If anyone's read the books, they know who Lady Stoneheart is.
Right, so they're not going to do that, are they?
They're not going to do that, no, because they brought back the Brotherhood, but she is not in the head of them. And the Hound has actually joined them now. So, can I just say, I absolutely adore the Hound. I just love him. Every scene that he's on the screen.
I want him and Arya to get back together.
I know, because they were a great buddy duo.
Yeah, I mean, them arguing about who was going to kill
who. Who was going to kill these three guys.
Yeah, no, it was that's what I want from the Hound. Like,
it's like, no, you can't gut them. It's just hanging. That's over too quickly. It's like, well, I got to kill two. One, two, I get a kill. So they're like negotiating. You know, these guys are just standing on these wood blocks ready to die. And it's like, yeah, they're negotiating who's going to kick the stump out from under your feet.
I felt like a lot of things were just boring.
Yeah.
Like the...
And very kind of anticlimactic. The whole I choose violence with Cersei in King's Landing. And it's like, okay, great, you killed one.
That scene was cool, but I understand the importance of saying, like, okay, so I think the episode was called No One.
Yeah.
And that was the theme for a bunch of the characters, like, the Hound isn't the Hound anymore, he's No One. Cersei is not the Queen Mother anymore, she's just one of the ladies up in the balcony, so she's also been downgraded to No One.
Yeah.
But, and that was, it was important that they outlawed the whole,
trial by combat, because the Mountain was going to kill anybody.
That's important, but it's just, I don't care. It wasn't exciting to watch that play out, and I feel like earlier seasons they were better at, like, that political stuff would have been super exciting, and it's just
and now,
not doing
you know,
it.
Tommen's just really just pissing me off, and it's just
I can't believe I want Joffrey back versus Tommen. Like, he's like...
Joffrey
just,
wasn't boring, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you hated him, but you were entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Cersei's probably going to blow up King's Landing at some point this season because of the rumor that... I think the rumor concerns the wildfire that's underneath... King's Landing, but
what is the green stuff?
The green stuff, yeah.
Oh, because Bran saw that in one of his visions.
In one of his visions. So if she can't have trial by combat, she's not going to go into a trial. She is not going to be found guilty. So she's just going to blow the whole damn place up.
Which I'm confused. Why did she even do the Walk of Shame if she still had to do the trial?
Apparently, the Walk of Shame is to get you out of prison.
Oh, okay.
And then you actually go to your trial, which is you know,
shame.
Shame. So next week is the Battle of the Bastards. It's supposed to be the most expensive episode in history.
Really? Even more expensive than... Remember there was that one... What was it? It was the last season or the season before where they attacked the wall. The wildlings attacked the wall.
That was That's possibly my favorite episode of the entire series. Yeah. They never cut away from that. The where the redhead dies and like they stop the wildling. Like that was just so good. And it and I mean the show has always had the same formula. The first couple episodes are like fun. You're excited that it's back. The middle six are boring. Yeah. The last two are great. Are awesome. Yeah.
So yeah. So next week, Battle of the Bastards. It's Ramsay versus Jon. John, of course, is going to come out on top. It just depends on how many people around these two are going to end up dead.
Right.
I don't think Rickon's going to make it out of this battle alive. I also don't think Littlefinger's going to make it out of this battle alive.
What is his play? I don't understand his motivation for, like... Did he sleep with Sansa?
I don't think he actually slept with her.
Okay.
But... no, because I don't think he would have been able to sell her off to Ramsay if he had. But I think he's going to come in and save the day.
You think he's going to bring the veil?
I think he's going to bring the veil.
Because she wrote a letter to him, I believe.
Asking for his help.
Right.
And I don't think Jon can win this war without...
No, I don't think so either. I don't know. It's just turning into this, like, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to keep watching it. That's fine, but... I don't care about the characters as much anymore because so many have died, and now it's just like we're looking at the main characters and that's it.
Right. And
and where is it going? Like the whole point of the show was like the Game of Thrones, right. And it's now like Dany wants to bring down King's Landing. You're guys talking about Cersei wants to bring down King's Landing, maybe kind of thing. And it's kind of like so this has all been for nothing.
Really. Yeah, and that's my thing. Everyone asks who's going to sit on the Iron Throne at the end of the series. I don't think there's going to be an Iron Throne at the end of the series. It's going to be something completely different.
Well, and there's like a couple things that are going to happen. Dany's going to come over to Westeros and start that whole political thing
and catch a cold because she's never been in snow.
Right, and then and the White Walkers are going to come, and it's just it turns into this where like when is this going to happen? We've been like, and I'm not saying like we've been waiting for six seasons because I've enjoyed the first four and a half.
But we have been waiting six seasons because the very first episode started with White Walkers, and they're still where they are.
And it's just like because we know where it's going, it's just upsetting me that they're really dragging stuff out.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with a shorter season for the next seasons if that's the rumor.
Yeah, they're doing like they're doing 13 more episodes. One season will be six episodes. One season will be seven.
Well, hopefully each episode is just like boom, boom, boom. You know, action, action, action. You know.
Yeah, and I just hope, please kill Ramsay next week. I'm so tired of Ramsay.
Who will we hate if they kill him?
Well, no, but still, like, I don't hate him. I'm so eviled out that, like, anything he does, I'm just like, I don't care. I'm not surprised by you. I'm not shocked by anything you do. Yeah.
The whole thing with Theon was interesting, and now it's kind of like, we know he's, like, the most sadistic bastard that's ever lived, so.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So that was Game of Thrones.
Matt and Joey are clearly super.
That was very detailed. Yes. I'll give you guys that. Yeah.
So speaking of orphans, which there are plenty of in Game of Thrones, Orphan Black.
So Orphan Black, the new season, started in April. I did catch up, and I'm pretty much caught up. There's another episode this week.
Hmm.
So if you're not part of the Clone Club... which they're now calling the Clown Club, which is so funny because, you know, self-awareness. But first season we talked about, you know, Sarah was just trying to figure out who the clones were and what it was all doing, and she was impersonating Beth. Second season, you know, we were dealing with Helena and the weird Neolution group. And then third season was when we found out that along with all the female clones, which are called Leda, which is the story of the Greek mythology of the swan, there's Castor, which are the male version, and they were all military-based. The most self-aware of the clones, which was Rachel, who was head of Neolution and of the Dyad Unit Institute, but in an effort to escape, one of the clones stabbed her in the eye.
Ouch.
And gave her a stroke. And she woke up and she was somewhere where she did not know at the end of last season. And it was that she was actually with the original scientist that created the clone, Susan, who is trying to figure out how to recreate it because she did create a clone 2.0, which ended up as a young girl, Charlotte. And she has the same issues plus some additional issues health-wise. So, you know, we had Neolution, we had the scientists, and we had the military, and they all were interested in the clones. Well, now, start of season four, there's a new head of the Neolution, and her name is, and I just had it in front of me because I knew I was going to do it wrong, but it's Evie Cho. And Evie does not like clones. She doesn't like the fact that two of the clones can reproduce and are pregnant, which is Helena and her sister Sarah. She feels that that's a defect. She doesn't like clones at all, and she wants everything to be about Neolution, which is all of these medical implants and other things. And it's been quite interesting. We still have Allison and her poor husband, Donnie, and
he's
all
the,
of their
like
problems.
Soccer mom?
She's a soccer mom.
She was my favorite one.
She's a soccer mom, and she also was a drug dealer. And then when the
soccer mom, drug dealer.
Yeah, like and she won the head of the PTA election.
It was
because she found out that some of the women were in there. So she used her mom's soap shop as a front for drugs. But all the rest of the clones have pretty much gone into hiding. Kissima has become very sick. She's the scientist clone, and you know, and she thought Delphine had died, who was her researcher, but now we're being told that Delphine perhaps is alive. So it's very interesting. I have to say this about it. I really thought that as we went along, the clone thing would get boring. I really didn't like the cast or the male clones because they were all military and they did introduce one caster. There is one caster still alive that we know of. And he is not military based. But he still is dying of the same genetic defect. And so there's been a lot of controversy about, do we heal them? Because we know that the caster clones have this military bent that is really quite evil. Or do, you know, supposedly he's better. It was a little grossy gross because, you know, the scientist woman who created the clones is sleeping with the male clone. Kind of, yuck. But you know what? They've kept me very intrigued. I haven't gotten to that point where I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm walking away. They've kept the story going. I think Evie Cho has become an interesting villain this season. She did just get overturned, or did she? It's very interesting. I do have to say that one of my favorite characters is still Helena. She is extremely violent, but her answer, like, she just does what she thinks she needs to do. She is very protective of the sister. But and we did get a new clone, which is Mika, and she's another well-formed character. And so it's been really interesting. We got Christy back, who was the flighty hairdresser. So Orphan Black, you know, it is a BBC show. It's only going to have 10 episodes. I think this week is the last one for this week. But definitely kept you going the whole way. So if you haven't watched it, I haven't spoiled it so much that you can't go back and watch it again. But definitely glad that I got to catch up on it. It's on BBC America. They have their own app. You can watch all the full episodes on that. You can also get it on Amazon Prime, which I've done just because it's easier. So Scream.
This is an MTV production. And it shows. I made it through the first season, so happy me. We made it through the first season by riffing like the last 6 episodes of this because it got really bad. Really, really bad. But it's, you know, it's basically Scream in TV form. You got somebody roaming around in a mask killing high schoolers. And for some reason, they always have school the next day. Yeah, you know, the football jock got sliced in half by a farm machine, but hey, we're gonna go to school tomorrow. and we're gonna have parties late at night, even though there's a you know, raving lunatic in a mask killing people. But
so let me ask you this: Scream versus Scream Queens.
I think I enjoyed Scream Queens a little bit more because it was less, it was more self-aware.
Yeah,
this is just all pop culture reference, and it's trying so hard to mimic the Scream movie. It kind of lost itself. Scream Queens,
like, you couldn't do the Sixth Sense again.
No, the Scream Queens, even though it ended poorly, the first season ended poorly, it still was kind of fun to watch. This was only fun to watch in the fact that I was making fun of it. So, So, no, you can skip this one. I know season two just started on MTV. They left a little loophole in season one. They did catch the killer or kill the killer, but they left a little loophole to continue in the same school and with the same characters. Hmm. But I'm not all that interested, so I don't know.
Tiffany pop star, never stop, never stopping.
Yes.
Yes, so I saw that this weekend, and it's actually pretty funny, I have to say. It doesn't go through all the cliches that I feel like a sort of pop star on the decline would go through. Like, there wasn't some huge love interest that was brought in to save the day. He never lost his money, kind of a thing. Like, he still remained, but it was pretty funny. I mean, just like the beginning, he's got a new album coming out. Like, he's this huge pop star, and he's got this album coming out, and he decides he's gonna do a music video for a song about, like, giving gays rights. So he basically sings the song, and it's all about giving gay people rights. And he, like, every other line says, "I'm not gay, not gay." And he, like, keeps putting in, like, hot wings, titties, not gay, not gay, but gay, and everything. And then the funny thing is that they kind of do, like, this real life thing where everybody's, like, posting on YouTube and stuff, like, what is with this video or Snapchatting and everything? And everyone's like, does he not know that gay people can get married? Like, the whole thing's about, or whatever. And he's just sort of delusional, but, like, it was really quite charming. Like, even though he's the sort of, Andy Samberg is this kind of crazy character, you sort of root for him still, and there's some really, really funny stuff in there. I don't know that I would pay $10 to go to the movies to see it, but it's worth checking out sometime.
And Seal, yeah. Seal gets attacked by wolves.
He did. He was good. He good little cameo, I'm gonna say. I mean, I actually, you know, I thought it was pretty funny. If you like Lonely Island or whatever, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like that kind of, like, music, then you're gonna enjoy the movie.
That was always kind of the best part of SNL those years. He just really...
Yeah, their skits, their digital skits.
They ran away with it.
What was your favorite... Which was your favorite, like, celebrity cameo? Because I'm sure that movie had a bunch.
Oh, there was a ton. I don't know. Besides maybe Seal, I would say... Pink does the music video with with him in the beginning about the gay quality, and, like, towards the end of the video, she's, like, kind of, like, giving him a side eye for some of the shit he's saying.
Yeah.
So, probably her.
Nice.
So, you're the worst.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my gosh. That's what this says on the paper here. So, somebody at this table is the worst.
Tiffany said it.
Field.
Field, you're the worst.
Yeah, I really like shows that are half an hour, so then when you watch them on Netflix, they're like 20 minutes. I like that because I can watch it, I can go get something to drink, especially on Hulu when there's those little micro commercials. There's like just enough time to get a drink coming. But I thought it was really good. I watched the first season, and I just finished that up the other night.
I really liked it, too.
It's...
Yeah.
And it's super sexual... And it's super pessimistic. And it kind of ties...
Well, the two main characters are what kind of pairs them together.
They really are the fucking worst humans probably out there. Even though I've known people really similar to that. And it kind of also...
Stop pointing at me.
No, you.
I'm sorry, Joey. He's pointing at you. That's
fine. But I think what the void it was filling for me, which ties into this other news item, is... Curb Your Enthusiasm has been missing for years.
Yes.
Now he's coming back for season 9.
Yep.
So
I know.
I'm pretty...
My second favorite show of all time.
Yeah. So...
That's your first? Oh, Gilmore Girls.
No, The West Wing.
Oh.
West Wing.
Yeah.
But no, so it's only 10 episodes, the first season. I think they're actually about to do a season 3. Which it's not.
Yeah, I knew that they were. I don't have cable, so I couldn't watch the second season. But you know who actually turned out to be my favorite character was the girl's best friend. That, like, girl with the squeaky voice that seemed so sweet, and she was like.
Absolutely. She's pretty much the worst, yeah.
She became pretty awful. But the show is. It was, like, really interesting, I thought. Like, it.
I think it's cool because I love the shows where the creator of the show writes a lot of it. It just seems like it. Flows a lot better these type of shows, so it's like a very, very cool vision, and I think that's what FXX is kind of carving out for themselves, because there's also that other show, Man Seeking Woman. And
that's that show you really like, right?
Yeah, it's based on this novel, and it's just, again, it's the same. The creator of the show writes every episode, and it's very focused, and the tone is always right on, even if they have different directors. And I love that type of stuff.
It's just, yeah, consistency.
So
anyway,
yeah, so I think FXX is kind of growing on me, which is awesome.
I recommend it too. I thought it was good.
It was fun.
All right, I segued last time. Somebody else segue.
Oh, speaking of that, did you ever see that man standing in that castle? It was really high.
Yeah, so this is...
I haven't watched this. I want to desperately.
That would have segued perfectly with Game of Thrones, considering there was a high castle.
Right.
Yeah. There were men standing on it.
We used to have contests of who could do the worst segue. But that was just weak on my part.
Weak is water.
Yeah. So is this the one where Hitler won?
Yes. Okay. So basically, like,
I want to see this.
The Japanese have taken over the west coast of the United States, and the Nazis have taken over the east coast of the United States. And there's a small portion in the middle of the country that is the neutral zone, but it's kind of like the Wild West, though, where there's like bounty hunters and crazy shit like that. But it's really interesting. Like, I would say more so than the show itself, like the content of the show, is the visual of the show. They did a fantastic job with the sets, and it's really filmed in this really beautiful way. It's and seeing San Francisco like taken over by Japanese culture is really interesting. And it's also interesting to sort of see how these different cultures would integrate themselves with Americans, like, you know, like, that the Japanese way is sort of the preferable way, because at least they tried to, like, fully integrate with the Americans and teach peace and things like that. Hmm. But sort of the overcast of it is that Hitler is, it's been several years since the war ended, and Hitler is older and now sick. So everybody's worried that he's going to die. And there's also people within the Nazi party that are basically like, he's gotten soft because he's now older or whatever. We need to take away the West Coast from the Japanese. So there's a lot of like sort of political maneuvering and assassination attempts on certain people and things like that. And then there's like this group of basically the core of the Man in the High Castle is there's this man who creates these films, and they're such they're contraband in both territories, and basically the people who move these films are like part of like a resistance. And so it's like a younger group of people, and I mean the show is, it was okay. Like, I was kind of like, okay, I'm ready for the season to be over when it was over. which isn't to say that I won't, because they are filming a second season, that I won't watch it, but I needed like a break, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I was more, like I said, I was more fascinated with the cinematography of the show. And the first couple episodes were really interesting, seeing how the world developed after that, but like, kind of towards the end, you're like, I feel like everybody's sort of tedious.
This was based on a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yes.
Yeah, and what, I was going to ask, what platform, was it Amazon?
That aired
it? Okay, I haven't watched it yet, I wanted to. I actually, like, started reading the book when the show was announced, because I was like, I really like Philip K. Dick, I'll read the book. Mm-hmm. I never got out of the first few chapters where it was just world building. Yeah. It was really interesting, but it was an interesting concept, but it was boring to read.
That's exactly what this kind of played out on screen as well. Huh. When you're getting into the nitty-gritty of the world, it's like, oh, how interesting that this is what it's like.
Right.
But
right.
Then when you kind of start getting into the story, like, you've moved past that, it's kind of like, I don't care.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, they spent a lot of time about American, like, artifacts and stuff, and people making forgeries, and it was just, like, a lot of people, like, a lot of time was spent on, like, old American guns.
There's a lot of it on the show too.
Right. And like, I never got into any of the story. Like, I have no idea what the story
really
was going to
be about. You don't really care that much about the people. Yeah. You really don't. I mean, there's like an older Japanese guy that you're kind of like, sweet old man.
I would probably recommend this book called Fatherland. And I forget the author, but this was out a long time ago. I was in a grocery store was probably like 15 years ago, and it was in the aisle, like an impulse buy, a paperback, and I bought it, and I really liked it. But the premise there was Germany won, and it's years later, and Kennedy is president of the United States, and he's older, but nobody really found out what Hitler did. Like, that was all a secret. So, like, America doesn't know about the concentration camps and stuff.
Okay,
and
it was just that's real.
Yeah, and it was, like, told from, like, this Russian Russian detectives type of view. But it's just really awesome, but it doesn't get into all that minutia of, like, gun artifacts and stuff, and like, stuff like that. Just, I don't know. I do like a little bit of world building, but I don't want to get into every little thing.
The first couple episodes are really interesting for that.
I did.
Yeah.
And Fatherland was written by Robert Harris.
Yes. But
and when was it written?
1992.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. So a little bit older. Yeah. I'm older too. Yeah. But yeah, that was a great book. But
so speaking of books,
yeah.
Really big like, I read Damned by Chuck Palahniuk. Who is the author of Fight Club and Choke. I really loved this book. Madison Spencer is a 13-year-old daughter of a really high-end architect and a movie star, and she dies and goes to hell and basically takes over. It's like, are you there, God? It's me, Margaret, only she's in hell.
And, oh, my God.
And it's really great. I love the character of Madison. Yeah. I loved the concept of hell. Where if you've read any of Chuck Palahniuk's books, you know he can get very gross very quickly, and his depiction of hell is very disgusting, with piles of toenail clippings and the sea of partial birth abortions and it gets very disgusting. Yeah. But I really
that's where
liked,
he would go. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is a sequel called Doomed, which I just picked up, so I haven't read that one yet. But there is a sequel. But I really enjoyed it, and I like his writing anyway, so I knew I was going to like it. But I loved the main character of Madison Spencer, and each chapter actually begins with, "Are you there, Satan? It's me, Madison," because it is just patterned so much
awesome.
On "Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret." For those of us who read Judy Blume,
I will have to read that.
But yes, it's a really good book.
Is it long or is it?
No, it's okay. Actually, it's a little less than 300 pages. It's a pretty quick read.
Because Fight Club was a really short book.
Yeah.
And then the movie, they added a lot of good stuff. It was like one of those cases where a movie actually got better.
Yeah.
It filled in some of the things
rarely
they created.
The case,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like, wow, this is.
David Fincher, though.
Yeah,
he
was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's Alien 3, right?
Hey.
Yeah. I'm more thinking
the director's
of social
cut, if you can call it the director's cut, is not as bad as the theatrical cut.
I actually unironically love Alien 3.
I actually do too. I think it's because it's just filled with English actors that I really enjoy. And it's like, I didn't mind it so much. So
curb your enthusiasm a little bit. Sternsler has some news.
We
already
did that.
About,
yeah. Wow, you just zoned.
Yeah.
I was.
You tied it in, dude. You're
trying.
The worst.
Yeah, okay.
season 9. He's coming back for season 9.
Awesome.
Yep,
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, just the Donald Glover, which is cast.
Who's he going to play?
They haven't announced that yet, which is...
Spider-Man!
No.
Well,
so that's a petition for...
He's too old to play Miles now, but...
yeah, that's too bad.
So there's like two... There's Hobby Brown? Is that his name? He's the Prowler.
Yeah,
he
could be the Prowler.
And then there's the old guy, Robbie. I think his name was Robbie. Who was like J. Jonah Jameson's like second?
Was it Robbie Robinson or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah,
something
it
weird.
Had to be,
yeah,
had
yeah.
The two R's or whatever.
He has like a son or nephew that works in
yeah.
the Bugle or a newspaper, like in more recent comics. So I'm thinking maybe it's that, like, because I don't know who else, who Donald Glover's like young enough to play, unless he's some like henchman
yeah.
or something that like we don't know. Like,
yeah, because he's in his early 20s, so I don't think they would try to make him play a high schooler at this point. But I mean, they could. But
I want to say he's late 20s. By now.
Yeah, because he was 21 when they. I was just reading.
Oh
recently.
My god! I was thinking Danny Glover, and I'm like too young. Sorry.
No, he was writing for 30 Rock, and he was 21. And Tina Fey said, "I want you for this.
Okay.
This thing I'm gonna do, Or is that how he got on 30 Rock? Anyway, but it's like, yeah, so they grabbed him. Oh, for Community. And she's like, I want you to be on Community. Yeah. Do you want to do it? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not an actor, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a stand-up. And
I found him on, like, YouTube videos, like on Derek comedy YouTube videos a long time ago before I knew he was writing for 30 Rock or any or Community or anything else. So, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
Speaking of... But,
And Michael Keaton's going to be the Vulture, though.
Has that been confirmed? Because he...
In that article about him, Donald Glover, that's when they said that. And the first I heard what he was, and I was like, really?
Yeah, so no, I'm down for that. It's a villain we haven't seen yet, which is nice.
I love the contrast. I always love that contrast of the old Spider-Man comics, because he was like this bald guy with this horrible costume, and it was just stupid.
So
it was
awesome. He goes from Birdman to the Vulture?
Yeah.
He just flew right into the Spider-Man. But speaking of which, did anyone see photos of J.K. Simmons beefing up for
creepy
monster
Gordon?
That's too much. Like, that's crazy.
Too much.
Creepy.
How old is he? Like,
he's 60s something. Yeah, I think he's 67 or 68. But he's been
We are farmers.
You will personally protect all of your property.
I love J.K. Simmons. I have nothing against him.
Somebody on Facebook posted a picture and it was perfect. I don't know if anyone's watched Dragon Ball Z, but he looks just like the old man from Dragon Ball Z.
Master Roshi. Yes. No, that's perfect.
Oh, no.
With this big bushy beard, when Master Roshi goes bulking up,
that's perfect. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yep. So, good job, J.K. Simmons. I don't know why you had to beef up to play Commissioner Gordon, but maybe the police in Gotham will actually do something now.
So, for once, now we've come to that sad part.
Oh.
Yeah. Is this Elf?
This is, rest in peace, Michu Mazaros. I'm butchering that, but he was the actor who actually, he wasn't the voice of Elf. He was the actor when Elf would run around. He's 33 inches tall, and he started off as a Ringling Brothers performer, and Michael Jackson, of course, became attached to him because he likes shorter people and stuff. Sorry, but Michael Jackson always goes for like somebody he can intimidate, I think, or back then. But
which, wasn't a whole lot of people
for him. Anybody short, he would go for. No, but, and he used to perform for presidents and stuff before he became Alf, but... Yeah, so he was the guy who actually had to wear a little costume and run around. So, but he was in the 70s. So anyway, a friend of mine
had a good life.
That, so.
He had a good life. And somebody else who has a good life.
Yes.
Our very own Carol the Cat.
Yeah.
She turns a little bit older this week. We won't say how old, but for she's a jolly good geeky.
Tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday. Aww. You don't have to read it on air.
Good.
But we love you, and we're glad that you've been part of this. So even though this is episode 87, I actually will tell you that this is our 100th episode that we...
What, with all the rugs and all
This is our 100th episode that we've recorded, and it's your birthday episode, so...
Perfect.
Yay! And I'm 100, so there you go.
Age!
No.
More than half of that.
Oh, I need to do the thingy, don't I?
Less than half of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Real quick. So, Joe, where can we find you at HeroesCon and then on the interwebs and all that fun
stuff? Yeah, HeroesCon, June 17th through the 19th. Artist Alley 53. Joey Navarro Jr. is my name on all social media.
NAVARRA.
And she's doing sign language for those blind people who aren't listening.
If you're a daredevil, you can hear the motion of the air and figure out what she's signing. So, yeah.
And then you, Starnes Lord, along with David Beauchamp, will be at
1913.
Remember my horrible story at the beginning. If not, rewind and listen again. In the meantime, happy birthday, Carol!
Happy birthday!
Push the button, damn it.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofka. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution.
But every time I posted it, Pete. I tweet. You don't tweet.
I tweet sometimes.
You don't
rare occasion, but I tweet.